Mixtape Podcast. What's good, y'all? I'm Josh So Focused.
I'm French the Bro Host, and we would like to welcome you to
the Knicks Take Podcast.
This is episode 57.
And this is a weekly podcast where we cover the biggest Knicks news of the week.
Make sure to follow us on our socials. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter /X by searching for the Knicks Take. And you can find us on our website at KnicksTake.com.
If you love what you hear and love what you watch, please subscribe to us on the platform that you're watching us on, listening to us on, wherever it is that you're hearing us on, make sure that you subscribe. Also, please, please make sure you guys talk to your family members, talk to your friends, anybody who's a Knicks fan, make sure you talk to them about us. Make sure that they know, hey, this new upcoming podcast is out. They're great. And help us build our fan base. So this week, we're going to talk about, we're going to recap the Knicks offseason, recap some of the moves that they made, talk about some of the players that they lost, some of the players that they've added. We're going to talk about the Jrue Holiday situation. Last week we recorded right before Jrue Holiday was traded. We're going to talk about where he went.
The day before, like right after we recorded, that's when we get the news that he's done got traded from the Portland Trail Blazers. I had a whole section dedicated to it last episode, but... Yeah,
we're going to get into it. We're going to go over the Eastern Conference and look at it from a Knicks lens. We're going to go over Media Day. We're going to go over training camp. And the topic of the week this week, we're going to be looking at the future. What do I mean by that? We're going to talk about preseason. We're going to talk about the regular season. We're going to go over what our expectations for the Knicks are this year. Now, let's start off with our offseason update. Last week, we touched on it a little bit. French said a little bit about it. But at Obi Toppin, our backup power forward, who played 8 to 15 minutes a night, depending on how Julius was playing, he was traded for 2 second-rounders from the Indiana Pacers. Very low trade value at this point in time due to the minutes that he was getting due to a lot of different things. There was not really a place for him with Julius Randle taking 36 minutes and us and our inability to use Obi Toppin elsewhere.
Real quick.
Yep.
Who did you want us to draft that night instead of Obi Toppin?
Devin Vassell?
Yeah. I feel like him getting traded and then... in this week that we haven't recorded, Devin Vassell getting a max extension. Well, not a max extension from the Spurs, but a big extension from the Spurs. It was just like, kind of wish we had him on the roster still, because we need a nice little 3-and-D wing.
Yes,
with potential to be even better. But yeah. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead. Keep going.
That's all right. This is what we do. We riff a little bit.
Yeah.
Devin Vassell would have been a great addition to this specific roster. And... We didn't pick him. We picked Obi Toppin, and then we didn't get great value in return. But it is what it is. He is a great Knick. Part of me still wishes he was here, but I think he's going to do great things in Indiana. We'll see. So the Knicks signed Dante DiVincenzo last year. Dante DiVincenzo was a member of the Golden State Warriors, and he played very well last season. He
made a name for himself.
Made a name for himself for sure. We signed him $50 million for over 4 years. Last year, Dante DiVincenzo, 9.5 points per game, 4.5 rebounds per game, 3.5 assists per game, and he shot 40% from the three-point arc. Dante DiVincenzo was probably one of Golden State's better rotation players outside of the big players that they had last season. You know, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, all of them. Actually, I think Dante DiVincenzo, you could say that he played better than Klay Thompson for a good stretches of the season last year. Mm-hmm. This is a great, great addition to the New York Knicks.
And going off the back of the fact that we just traded Obi Toppin, I was watching like a Fred Katz interview, I believe, on Knicks Fan TV, where they were talking about DiVincenzo basically taking the Obi Toppin minutes and how Obi Toppin was mainly just used as a spot-up shooter and... a big body on the floor, but he wasn't really the greatest defender. I think DiVincenzo was going to fill into that slot perfectly just because, like you just said, he averaged, what, 4.5 rebounds? Obi only averaged 2.8. And
Obi was not a great rebounder.
Yeah.
Especially for the position.
He was just someone that was on the break all the time. Yeah. He could hit a spot up three every now and I remember at the beginning of the last season, he was like the best 3-point shooter on the team. And then he just fell off crazy after that. But DiVincenzo is a steady, reliable shooter, steady, reliable defender, steady, reliable rebounder. I think he's going to bring a dynamic to our bench that's going to be possibly contributing to making us the best bench in the NBA. And I really like that signing. I always liked him ever since he was drafted. I think his first team was Milwaukee. I always thought he was like a real good shooter, solid rotation defender, and I think he's going to do wonders for this team.
I didn't like how you included possibly in your sentence there, sir. The Knicks were already one of, if not had the best bench last season, and Obi Toppin didn't play that much. So you replace him with Dante DiVincenzo, who was also one of the better players. He's going to bring the rebounding, which is a great, great part of the Knicks' identity.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be worse than Obi Toppin on defense.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably going to be better.
No, he's definitely going to be better. He's just going to be smaller.
And he's a more consistent three-point shooter. People are going to be afraid to leave Dante DiVincenzo behind the three-point line, which the Knicks sorely need. So let's move on from Dante.
One more thing, actually.
Okay.
Because people are also saying that our defense is going to take a step back because of this lack of size that we have on the roster. I think anyone who ever played ball knows that, like, yeah, it's good to have size, but one of the most annoying things to go up against is a pesky, short defender who's going to be moving so quick around you. You're going to keep losing the ball, going, having to chase them down on fast breaks because you lost the ball and they pushed it ahead. And we're going to be a really fast, up-tempo team this year. I'm looking forward to seeing that. And every player off our bench is a great rebounder. Yes. Quickly,
yep.
Josh Hart,
yep.
DiVincenzo, Hartenstein.
Facts.
And we're going to have starters playing with the bench, too, throughout the year. I'm sure there's going to be some injuries. Imagine lineups with RJ with the bench, Mitch with the bench. Like, I'm just looking forward to seeing how this team is going to come together. And I feel like it's going to be a long night for every team in the NBA anytime they face the Knicks.
We're definitely going to speak on that a little bit later. Next, the Knicks also extended Josh Hart for 4 years at $81 million.
Heart of the city.
With a fourth-year team option. Now, Josh Hart, we saw what he did. We saw what he added to the team. There were a lot of people on Twitter X or whatever saying, oh, the market isn't out there for Josh Hart. He's not going to get the four-year 80. And this is just additional stuff to why, where I think I'm just starting to get old, because I really, some of y'all just be saying stuff just to say stuff. Don't do your research. Don't look at the facts. Please just be patient. Patience is actually a good thing. You don't look dumb when you're actually patient and you pay attention to what's going on out there. Everybody knew Josh Hart was going to get 4 for $80, and he got it as soon as he could. Yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that, okay? You guys on Twitter, you guys with all of these, we're called the Knicks Take, but all of you got some really hot takes out there. Some of you just need to just calm it down. Please, please calm it down.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Also, in relation to Josh Hart, this isn't really Knicks offseason news, but I figured we better mention it. Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson were part of the Team USA in FIBA tournament.
Mm-hmm. Quentin Grimes also made the select team, and I saw that they actually beat the USA team in one of the practices. I'm not surprised to hear that Quentin Grimes was a big part of that.
I'm not surprised about that at all, actually. And we'll talk about Quentin Grimes and how important he'll be later to the Knicks later on in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Team USA, though, everybody was expecting them to medal. Everybody was expecting them to get gold. Jalen Brunson was called Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
He was supposed to lead this team to something. And instead, not only did they not win gold Not only did they not win silver, in the elimination game, they faced Team Canada to see who would get the bronze medal and lost to RJ Barrett mm-hmm. and Team Canada. And, you know, some of the other players that are on that Team Canada team. But we're just going to, this is a Knicks podcast. This is RJ Barrett's team.
Yeah.
So, that's what happened with them in the offseason. And one other minor story that's still developing, the Knicks sue the Toronto Raptors. Now, this is still developing, as I just said. The Knicks are accusing their former video analytics and player development assistant who left the team of stealing thousands of proprietary files and forwarding them to the Raptors. They said that he was doing this while he was still employed by the Knicks, and then he took some files with him as he was leaving. Teams don't sue teams, usually. Masai Ujiri recently in the media day, in the Raptors media day conference, he was like, oh, in the history of the NBA, I think only one other time a team has sued another team. I think he thought he was making some sort of big point there. Definitely made himself look a little bit more suspect. It's going to be interesting to see where this goes. This may play a big factor in the Knicks season. It may not. We don't know. The commissioner of the NBA wasn't even notified of it until after the Knicks started suing them.
Yeah.
So it's just going to be something for us to keep an eye on. Right. And that's why we're mentioning it now.
Yeah.
Anything else from the offseason that you feel like I forgot to mention, French?
Not really. Not until much later last week, where after we recorded, we get a notification on our phones telling us that Jrue Holiday has been traded to the Boston Celtics for Robert Williams, Malcolm Brogdon, and 2 first-round picks. This was a hefty price.
Hefty.
And we were speaking on how the Knicks probably should make a move if it wouldn't cost too much, even though it seemed like it would have had to include either RJ or Emmanuel Quickly. When you see a team like the Celtics giving up on Malcolm Brogdon and Robert Williams, as well as multiple first-round picks, it shows that they're trying to go all in to win right now.
Yep.
And, yeah, I don't really fear the Celtics, though. I think they have a good team, but they gave up a lot to get this one player, and their bench is probably going to suffer as a result of this trade. But Jrue Holiday is an amazing player, amazing defender. He's going to pick up right where Marcus Smart left off. Now that Marcus Smart was traded away from Boston to the Grizzlies. But I see this being like a short-lived kind of trade because...
What do you mean by short-lived?
We're probably going to see the Celtics playing at their best not until later into the season, I feel like, because they gave up a lot. Their chemistry is going to be hurt as a result of all these trades they've made.
Okay.
They lost Marcus Smart, who was the heart and soul of their team mm-hmm. for years. He was defensive player of the year. You don't just give that away for injury-prone Kristaps Porzingis.
Let me jump in here. The season for the Celtics could go either way. I think that you're making some great points. The chemistry is going to be a little bit out of whack, but the main part of their team is still Jaylen Brown. I was about to say Brunson. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Those guys are going to will this team to above 500 by themselves.
Yeah, but how many games have we seen Tatum and Jaylen Brown have amazing games at the same time?
Not many.
They don't really coexist the best together.
How long ago were they in the NBA Finals? Exactly. So now they've added Kristaps Porzingis, who is a good player, former All-Star. He could get to All-Star again if he stays healthy. I wouldn't be surprised by that. It wouldn't be a shock to see Kristaps Porzingis get there. Now they've added Jrue Holiday, who's also made it to a finals, who's won a ring. And he could help them get over the hump. If everything works out well for this Boston Celtics team, yeah, we could see them in the finals. But the key part of that sentence is, if everything works out. Marcus Smart, I feel like, was not as... He was a more of a sure thing than Kristaps Porzingis as far as health-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And he had great relationships with everybody in Boston. And now you're bringing in a guy who you've the team's been playing against and trying to beat year after year after year. And now you have to get... You have to make nice with him and try to figure out his game and all that stuff. I agree with you that it's going to be difficult, but I don't think that it's going to be that difficult. I do see the Boston Celtics figuring it out, and it's not going to take them all year.
Even with Malcolm Brogdon gone now and Robert Williams?
Yes.
I feel like those two pieces were big pieces of the Celtics last year.
They were.
He won Sixth Man of the Year just a year ago, Malcolm Brogdon. And
they were. But
they don't have many draft picks to trade to get better, so it seems like they're going to be stuck with this roster unless they do like a pickup from like waivers or something like that later on in the year.
If they can make this team work, this team will do well. But they're relying on health. And that's the main thing that we'll get into the Celtics later as we go over the season, as we go into the regular season. But should we be surprised if they do well? No. We should not be surprised. I think that they are primed to do very well, assuming health, with Kristaps Porzingis, with Al Horford, and with some of the pickups that they've made. Now.
I just wanted to say one thing.
Al Horford, I wasn't sure if you wanted to say more.
Al Horford's 37 years old, and he's going to be playing a big chunk of the center minutes now that Robert Williams is gone.
Mm-hmm.
He's without still Al Horford there, if he gets like a little ankle injury or something like that because he's tripping over his feet,
mm-hmm.
I don't really see the Celtics causing too much like pandemonium like everyone expects. But
I think that
we'll talk
you,
about them when we get to them in the preseason.
I want to get all of the specific Boston stuff out of the way before we get into the Eastern Conference landscape.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right. He's old. And then he's backing up a guy who's injury-prone in Kristaps Porzingis. If you give him 24 and 24 minutes a night, break it up like that, same way the Knicks kind of break up their center rotation with Mitchell Robinson and Isaiah Hartenstein.
Or like how we tried to do with Derrick Rose and Kemba.
Right, like how we tried to do with them. But if it works out, they're going to be fine. If it doesn't work out, they're not making the finals. They may not even make the conference finals. And that's going to be something to watch for. So I think we can move right along to the Eastern Conference landscape as a whole.
Let's talk about it.
Which includes the Boston Celtics. So as we just listed a whole bunch of points as to why Boston, they're expected to be one of the better teams. They are expected to be actually the second best team in the Eastern Conference. And they're a threat in the Atlantic. The Knicks... For those of you who are well-vested in basketball, know your team plays members of their division the most out of any other teams in the league. The Knicks are in the Atlantic Division. Boston is in the Atlantic Division. So we got to pick up some wins. We got to hope that this team doesn't gel very well. They're in our opening game for both in the regular season and the preseason.
Remember what happened last time you played them, right?
Yeah.
Double OT.
We usually play Boston very well.
Yeah. And the last time we opened the season against them was when RJ hit that game winner.
Yep. We usually play Boston very well, but Boston usually also seeds higher than us in the Eastern Conference.
Seeding don't matter. The AFC just made it to the finals. And they beat Boston.
You're referring to the Miami Heat,
yep.
Who, if we were going by the old seeding, would not have been the eighth seed. It's just because of the play-in that they ended up as the eighth seed. Everybody knows that Miami... is not a bad team. They were in the play-in race, and that's how things shook out like that. But once they're in there, once you get to the playoffs, everything's different.
Yep. I'm not saying that Miami was bad. I'm just saying seeding isn't the most important outlier for a team's success. Like, I'm saying Boston doesn't put any fear in my heart.
Okay.
At all.
Boston doesn't put a lot of fear in my heart, but... Once again, once you're in the playoffs, it's different. We played Miami very well in the regular season, too. And look what happened in the playoffs. We haven't faced Boston in the playoffs yet. So that's something to be mindful of. I think we'll play them very well in the regular season, and I would love to see how the Knicks would play against them in the playoffs. So Boston is a threat in the Atlantic. Outside of that, it's not like the last few years. Brooklyn was there. They were a threat. All of their stars are gone. Now they have a young up-and-coming star in Mikal Bridges.
Cam Johnson.
They have a decent team. Are we scared of the Nets right now? Not really. Toronto just lost their point guard. Fred VanVleet. They might be losing at the end of the season, OG Anunoby. They didn't swing in that trade for Damian Lillard. Are we scared of the Toronto Raptors? Not really.
Nah.
And then we have the Philadelphia 76ers with the reigning MVP. Is he reigning MVP?
Yeah.
Reigning MVP, Joel Embiid.
And the former MVP and James Harden, who
correct
requested a trade over the offseason.
And that, like, and that,
he's
going to
end up in the Clippers.
That right there, that is why it's like, maybe we can include Philly as a threat. Maybe. They were very good last year. They were one of the teams that were better than the Knicks last year. But the fact that James Harden is like, I'll never play another game for the Philadelphia 76ers. If he's not there, Philadelphia will still be very good. But do I consider them a threat if they're missing him? And they didn't make those pickups, the same pickups that Boston made and the team that we're about to talk about next, the Milwaukee Bucks? I don't think so. So in the Atlantic, we're really talking about Boston and maybe Philly. And the best of the rest, there's two teams. The Milwaukee Bucks, who have Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo, two of the best players, as we said last week, two of the best players in the entire league. That's going to be tough. Everybody has them as number one in the East and probably going to make it to the finals and maybe the best chance to beat the Denver Nuggets in the finals.
Yeah. They still don't have any perimeter defense, though.
They might not need it.
They're going to need it. They're going to need it. You can't outscore everyone. You see, Dallas had the two top scorers in the NBA in Kyrie and Luka, and they didn't even make the play-in tournament last year. But I'm not saying that's going to happen with the Bucks.
We outlined last week why that's not – you. That's apples to oranges.
True.
That's apples to oranges. You look at Luka – and you say he's great at everything. You can put anybody around him, and that's going to be great. You put Kyrie next to him, it's kind of, they kind of eat into each other a little bit. It's not a smooth fit.
Right.
This is not the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, you put Dame and Giannis in pick and roll, what do you do? How do you stop that? And that's the thing. And they could do that all game. You can't really, there's no answer for that. So if it comes down to who's going to score the most points, they're going to win that battle a lot of times, most likely. We'll see what happens in the regular season. So the Bucks are definitely the biggest threat in the East. And outside of that, we have the Cleveland Cavaliers, who we ousted in the first round.
Not worried about
them. You're not worried about them. I'm a little worried about them, actually. I wasn't as worried, but then I thought about it. They nabbed Max Strus from the Miami Heat, and we'll talk about Miami too, and Georges Niang in free agency. That makes them a little bit deeper, which was the biggest problem for them in the playoffs. They had their first four guys play very well, or, you know, to a good degree, and then they didn't have anybody that they could rely on afterward. They were kind of piecemealing, okay, maybe this guy will play well. Now they have a legit 5-6 guys that you could say, okay, we can at least roll with these guys and we'll play well.
I disagree with you.
Okay, go ahead.
The reason that they lost in the first round in 5 games was because of Mitch.
That is true.
Mitchell Robinson was dominating the glass and making them look like little boys out there. And then Jalen Brunson, they didn't have an answer for. Julius Randle didn't even need to have an outstanding game to win that series. Like, and that wasn't even us near our best. So I think picking up Max Strus and Georges Niang, yeah, it gives you some better shooters. But the issues that they needed to address was finding a big man who could replace Jared Allen, I felt like.
I think that they're fine sticking with those two guys. Yes, you're correct. The biggest problem was how Mitch was just bullying them on the boards. But these games still came pretty close for the most part. And a little bit of better shot making by the Cleveland Cavaliers, you know, when coming up against how we were defending them, probably would have swung a game or two.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I do think that, and also the Cleveland Cavaliers were one of the teams that ended up with a better record than the Knicks last season, and they got better. With that said, I think that is going to still be, this season, it is still going to be close between the Knicks and the Cavs, and, yeah, they deserve to be listed with some of these other teams. They're not the one of the best two teams in the league, but they could still finish above the Knicks. Outside of that, I'm not really fearing any team in the Eastern Conference, including the team who ousted us in the playoffs, the Miami Heat, who lost Max Strus.
And Gabe Vincent to the Lakers.
Gabe Vincent traded away Victor Oladipo for cash. Victor Oladipo and picks for cash.
I think they held on to Kevin Love, though.
Yes, they did.
Who didn't really play much.
Correct. I'm not sure why we're bringing him up. But at the end of the day, they lost some key pieces and key players in those guys. They did bring in a couple of players. We're not going to go into who they brought in. They kind of offset what they lost, but they didn't get better. They were expecting to get Dame. Didn't happen.
You feel like that they offset what they lost with those pickups?
A little bit. Not to a great degree. Listen, nobody knew who Max Strus and Gabe Vincent was before last season. Like, they weren't no big names. So
true.
So whoever they pick up, yeah, they may not be big names. That doesn't mean Miami is not going to turn them into desirable assets.
Yeah.
So that's this. You have to put it in the context of this is the Miami Heat. Yes, we may not think much of these guys, but if they are good enough, they can offset the players that they lost. And that's all. I'm not fearing Miami Heat. The Knicks always played them very well. They played them well last season. And I think it's going to be the same thing this season. But Miami was very inconsistent leading up to playoff time. I think that same thing's going to happen this year. The Knicks are going to have a higher seed again. The Knicks are probably going to have the 4 or 5 seed. And that's it. That's it for the East. I'm not really worried about anybody else. Yes, the rest of the East got a little bit better, but nobody is approaching the Knicks in that top five in the Eastern Conference conversation. Do you agree?
I agree with you.
I know you do. So let's move right along to Knicks Media Day and training camp.
The biggest takeaways from media camp, let me say, I believe were just a few key notes that I took away from like the interviews. Tom Thibodeau spoke with the media on Media Day in regard to Evan Fournier, saying that the record couldn't really be disputed since taking him out of the rotation.
Why did he say that?
Evan Fournier's been pretty much on a complaint run all offseason, saying that the Knicks have been holding him hostage. And
how dare you?
He deserves to be playing, and he was just real disgruntled and upset, hoping that he'd be traded away. He hasn't been traded away as of yet, so the media is going to ask the coach about why he was taken out of rotation, and Tibbs basically just saying, like, the numbers don't lie. RJ Barrett also spoke about possibly playing some backup power forward minutes now that Obi Toppin's gone. People took this as like him coming off the bench, but I don't think that's what he meant. He was just saying that he'll probably just come off the court early, and then when Randall's ready to come out the game, he's going to start playing some power forwards and split it with Josh Hart.
Well, I think that he was putting forth it. The question was kind of open. And what I got from it was, if he did need to come off the bench so that he could play more power forward minutes, he would be willing to do so. Because all he cares about is wins.
Right.
And getting more wins for this team. And that's what I got out of it. And nobody should really be batting an eyelash. I'm not sure why this was as big of a this was a big of a news story as it was, but it just goes to show the kind of players that we have on this team.
Right. Also, Emmanuel quickly spoke on how he has a lot of untapped potential. He gained a lot of weight over the offseason, focusing on how he can be even better defensively. He also spoke on the Obi Toppin trade and understanding that it's a business. His contract extension talks are still going on, and he's expecting for that to just be handled through his agent and through the team. Ian Begley spoke on the fact that he feels like there will be an extension done sometime in October, most likely around 4 years, 80 to 100 mil. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts on it are, need to hurry up and get it done so I can stop worrying about whether Emmanuel quickly is going to get paid. I'm not really that worried either way. If they sign him to a deal before the season, which is the deadline for when they can extend him, that means that it's going to be very easy for them to include him in a trade if that's what they want to do for a star player next offseason. If they don't, it makes such things much more difficult. And that means that other players would have to get traded if we want to make that swing for a big name. It's very important for us to sign our young talent, our young good talent, to good deals so that if we make that swing, we can do it. Emmanuel Quickley is one of those players. Quentin Grimes is another one of those players. We extended Mitch to a good deal. We extended RJ Barrett to a good deal. And we need to keep doing that because that's how we can make the trades that we need to make. It's not the Evan Fourniers that's going to get us the stars. It's the Emmanuel Quickleys. It's the Quentin Grimes. It's the young guys. It's the RJ Barretts. That's how we're going to get it done. Not that we necessarily need to.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Like, I ain't excited to be trading away Emmanuel Quickley. I want to pay him because I feel like he deserved it.
Right.
He's the 25th pick in the draft that we got, where we drafted Obi Toppin.
Mm-hmm.
We traded him away. Mm-hmm. We got to keep something from that draft. And I feel like Emmanuel Quickley is one of the best players to come out of that draft. If they did a redraft, he'd be going top five. That's how I feel about it. And
definitely top 10, if not top five.
He still has so much more room to grow that after all these years of us not having a point guard and now we have two really good solidified point guards, Emmanuel Quickley might be the best backup point guard in the entire NBA right now.
Yeah, I think he's definitely in that discussion, if not the answer to that question of who the best backup point guard in the league is.
And he's a really good defensive point guard who can rebound, and he's only been in the NBA for a few years, so I'm not looking forward to seeing him on another team just so that we can have a star. Like, I feel like he's a star in his own right. Okay. This team is going to continuously get better year to year because we have those guys with the mentalities to just grind. And Emmanuel quickly said a lot in this media day. He also was saying that everywhere that he went this offseason, there was a gym there. And not many guys are going to be working out every single way today, every single place that they go. He was in France, Milan, like, finding a gym in all these places, working on getting better, watching film, staying in contact with the coach. Those are the kind of guys that you want on your team if you ever dream to be a championship-level roster.
Those are the kind of guys that we have on this team. I brought up Quentin Grimes, but he's another guy. He's out there. He's in the gym with J.J. Redick,
mm-hmm.
trying to get tips from one of the best three-point shooters in the league on top of getting training with Penny Hardaway.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, these are reasons to be optimistic about this team. But we'll talk more on that a little bit.
And that's also another reason why you don't have to rely on off-season splashes and free agency and trades, because
right.
you can rely on the guys that you have on your roster to continuously get better year after year.
Mm-hmm.
And we have no idea where their ceilings are going to be.
Right.
So that's why I'm always optimistic. I'm seeing 50-win season, which we're going to speak on later. But another player spoke to the media. But this is after media day. Training camp is starting to take place. They took the team down to Charleston, South Carolina, where they caught up with Julius Randle. He spoke on how he expects to be a lot more efficient this year. Mm-hmm. And he also spoke on Obi Toppin getting traded, saying that he loved Obi and he was just in a tough spot. Now Obi's looking to be a starter in Indiana, so it looked like it worked out for him. Randall was happy for him. Quick is happy for him. So I'm just looking forward to the season. The main part of that was that Randall expects to be a lot more efficient this year. I felt like that was one of the things that held him back from being like a fan favorite for the last few seasons, is that his shot selection would always be erratic. He would have these amazingly high scoring games and shooting a bunch of threes. And then because he has developed a reputation as a shooter, he feel like he got to go and throw up 8 threes a game, 7 pull-ups, and instead of taking it to the basket if he's not feeling it that night. And I feel like if he was to just address this area of his game, which it seems like he has, he can be an elite level talent, even more so than what he is. And he could possibly be another All-NBA candidate to go along with Jalen Brunson, because Jalen Brunson ain't going to lose out on All-NBA 2 years in a row. After we seen how he played, he averaged 38 in the second half of the season. Mm-hmm. Eric Spoelstra, the Miami Heat coach, was saying how he doesn't understand how he's not All-NBA.
Mm-hmm.
He took on the 2 best defensive teams in the playoffs and gave them fits.
Right.
So,
yeah,
I'm excited to see both of those guys be on the All-NBA roster this year.
I'm very enthused and happy to hear what Julius Randle said in regards to how he spent his time. As we stated last week, Julius Randle did have surgery on that ankle to clean it up a little bit. We saw a lot of pictures of him walking around with a boot. Right now in training camp, he's moving around, he's running, which is really good. And as he stated during media day and since then, he has studied a lot of footage of himself and looked at ways that he can get better ways that he can score. Not necessarily score more, but score in more efficient ways. And if he does that, yes, he can be in another All-NBA team. And hopefully, Jalen Brunson will join him if he continues the streak that he had starting from last January up until the playoffs. Jalen Brunson is another one of those guys who, when you start looking at how he played towards the end of the season, he was averaging like 28 points a game. He was scoring efficiently. He was doing it all. Against Miami Heat, his game got better. Fred Katz of The Athletic basically wrote all of this stuff. You guys can read that if you wish. But he went out of his way to show, listen, Jalen Brunson, yeah, his overall numbers last season weren't, you know, eye-popping. But if the Jalen Brunson that we got from January on, if we get that Jalen Brunson next season, we're talking about a 28-point-per-game scorer.
Yeah, I said 38. I meant 28. In the second half of the season. But yeah.
Yeah, we're looking at a 28-point-per-game score on efficient shots. If that's what he is next season, he'll be either All-NBA, All-Star, or both. And he'll be one of the best players in the league, and he'll be somebody that players would want to come play next to.
Right.
Anything else that we... Oh, yeah, we got preseason coming up, don't we?
Yeah, we do. And the first game of the preseason is coming up against the Boston Celtics,
mm-hmm.
who we spoke a lot on this episode.
Yes.
So
by the time this episode comes out, that game will already have happened.
Right.
But what is your prediction? I know we're going a little out of order, but...
Not really. My prediction, I see the Boston Celtics coming into the MSG Madison Square Garden. I don't know why I said it like that. I see them coming into Madison Square Garden.
On the MSG floor.
On the MSG floor and leaving with a foot in the ass. I feel like we're going to beat them in game one.
Mm-hmm.
We faced them twice this preseason before we faced them for the first game of the regular season. Mm-hmm. I think this is going to be good for us to fill them out. And it's going to be a long year for this matchup specifically. But I think we're going to get off to a good start. We got the continuity. We're not having to worry about chemistry or anything like that. Jalen Brunson has another year with this roster as the starting point guard. He's going to feel a lot more comfortable with former teammates from Villanova being in the rotation, who he won a championship with already in college. 2 championships, if I'm not mistaken. So I think they're going to get off to a fast start in the preseason and in the regular season. I don't see us losing many games. What's your prediction?
I think we're going to lose this first Boston Celtics game because I believe, and I could be wrong about this, I believe Tom Thibodeau doesn't usually go with regular rotations in the first preseason game. I think he saves that for the last game moving into the regular season. And I think that that means that he's going to play around with the lineups against Boston while Boston is going to be trying to figure out their chemistry. And I think in the last game that we play against the Boston Celtics, I think the last game we're going to see the Knicks play more like how they'll play in the regular season, and they'll win that game. So
I think we have a deep roster. Even if we don't play our starters a lot of minutes, we still could bring it home, because even if you're trying to tinker with the bench lineups, you're still going to have a lot of talent on that floor that can bring that win home.
I agree.
Especially on our home court. Like, I don't think the players are going to be looking at this as preseason, because the preseason has been shortened.
I agree, but I think we're going to see a lot of our 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th best players playing minutes in that first game. Just, this is going to be just kind of a refresher. You know, you guys get a little run, a little breather, get a little sweat in. All right, let's get Isaiah Roby out here. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I see. You know, Knicks fans, yes, we have a player. We have a few players that we're not going to talk about because they're not in our plans. Isaiah Roby is going to be one of them. He's not going to be in the rotation. So, yeah.
You're going to be seeing a lot of Luke Kornet for the Celtics too, probably.
We'll see. I do think that they're going to try and prioritize chemistry in the preseason so that they can get off to as good of a start as they can in the regular season, which is why I think that first game between the Knicks and the Celtics is not going to be one that we should look to as, oh, this is what it's going to be like in the regular season. This is how the Knicks are going to play. Maybe this will be how the Celtics will play. And that's why I'm giving it to the Celtics, not because I think they're better. I do agree with a lot of what you said, but
just not the foot in the ass.
Nah, I'm not. I'm not seeing it for the first preseason game.
I hear you. So what are your predictions for the regular season then?
So what you said last week, 50?
50.
Standing 50, huh? So I got to think about it. Last season, we had 4 50-win teams. Can the Knicks replace one of those teams and hopefully one of those teams don't go up to 60 wins? That determines whether the Knicks are going to be a 50-win team this season or not, because the wins has got to come from somewhere and the losses has got to come from somewhere. Will the Knicks win 50? I'm gonna say 48 wins. 48 wins. The spread, I think, for the Knicks is 45. Which is a very good, I think that's a very good line. Because the Knicks could win more than 45 and they could win less. I think that the bare minimum wins that the Knicks are going to win are 42 wins. The bare minimum. And I don't see them hitting that. Them being a 500 team, that means that they're going to be in the middle of the play-ins instead of talking about 4 or 5 seed in the playoffs. I don't see that happening. I don't see 5 teams ahead of the Knicks.
Think about this, though.
Okay.
Last year, we won 47, right?
Yep.
That came with the rocky start at the beginning of the year.
Yep, I agree with you.
Now that we know who's going to be playing on this team, it's not going to be a guess if we're going to have to make time for Fournier, Derrick Rose, and Cam Reddish.
Right.
We know off-rip, Josh Hart's going to be the backup.
Yep.
DiVincenzo's going to be on that bench with that backup.
Yep.
Hartenstein's going to be the backup center instead of Jericho Sims.
Yep.
We know how we're going to play. We coming off the second round matchup with Miami, the team that made it to the NBA Finals. You don't have no faith that we're going to win more than 48?
I have faith. I do think that you could be more right than I am. I definitely think that. I can just also see things happening in the season that I didn't see. I'm not seeing now. You know, there's things that you don't predict. I mean, it wasn't predicting Derrick Rose to play the way that he did to start the season last year. Now we know we're not going to see Evan Fournier. So, yeah, there's a lot of things to be excited about when it comes to the Knicks. From Quentin Grimes to Emmanuel Quickley, runner-up for Sixth Man of the Year. Jalen Brunson gets better every season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm loving what I'm hearing from Julius Randle as far as his mental approach to the game. Mm-hmm. RJ Barrett coming off of the playoffs that he did and bringing some of that consistency, hopefully, to the regular season. We know what we're getting from Mitch. Isaiah Hartenstein started off pretty poorly last season, but if we get in the Isaiah Hartenstein that we got at the end of the season, we're talking about 48 minutes of just great center rotation.
And point guard.
Yeah. I said Emmanuel quickly before. Josh Hart, I didn't even bring up. Dante DiVincenzo. Like, if Josh Hart plays more aggressively the way that he did in the regular season than he did in the playoffs, then I think we can just look at that as, okay, that's we're good with Josh Hart, right? Everybody was complaining about how Josh Hart really didn't want to pull the trigger from behind the three, but that wasn't really an issue in the regular season, and I don't think teams are going to play as hard as the Miami Heat played him in the playoff series.
Right.
Or not really played him, but just kind of, they were rotating a lot and they were making him think about whether he should shoot the open shot or not. Don't think that's going to be an issue in the regular season. I don't think he's going to shoot as well as he did in the regular season once he became a Knick, but I don't think that's going to matter. I think he's going to be the contributor that he was last season. The Knicks were a 57-win team in terms of pace after they acquired Josh Hart, after the rotation changes, I believe.
57?
I think it was 57. I think it was 57 wins after they acquired Josh Hart. So they were definitely a 50-win team after Josh Hart was acquired. I don't think that that is going to translate all the way, but can they be a 50-win team, 50-plus win team? I think the evidence is there for it. And I think that if all of the things that I just said, with Quentin Grimes making that leap, Emmanuel quickly getting better, Jalen Brunson playing, he doesn't even need to play better. He just needs to play the way that he did in the 2023 year as a Knick. Like, nobody else really needs to make a leap for the Knicks to get to that 50-win goal.
He's still going to see it, though.
Well, let's see. You said 48. You said 50. Yeah. I said 48. Mm-hmm. We're both kind of like, if they get 49 wins, we're both... That's really it. And then anything else, one of us has to be right.
I'm leaving room for me to say 55 after preseason. This is just before we see.
So
anything.
you want to?
I'm ready to jump all the way off the.
You want to do season predictions after the preseason?
Only if we see something that we didn't expect. But I'm ready. I'm ready to jump off the ledge.
I think we can sign off after that. Before we sign off, do you have anything you want to plug? Or we? Nah. All right, we'll wait till the regular season for the plugs.
Yeah. So, we'd like to bid you adieu. Thank you for listening to
The Knicks Take Podcast.
Thank you. I'm Josso Focused. That's French the Bro Host. We appreciate you guys. We love you. Peace out.
Peace.
The Knicks Take Podcast.
Yeah. What it do? Mama,